We got a big update. Trump fights back with a major lawsuit against the DOJ.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo, joined in studio with executive producer Will Haynes. We're going to have a great show today. Give us a call if you want to speak on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. As people start to tune in, people start to watch, we want to bring up sort of the breaking news that came out, which is, again, yes, there's another Trump lawsuit, but maybe not the way you're thinking, because maybe it's the shoe is on the other foot, if you will, Will.
That's right. So this morning or over the weekend, the president's attorneys informed the Department of Justice of his intent to sue for $100 million in damages over the execution of the search warrant at Mar-a-Lago back in 2022. So this is an administrative tort claim against the DOJ. It argues that Attorney General Garland and Director Wray applied, quote, inconsistent standards and were guilty of, quote, clear dereliction of constitutional principles. This is the case that Judge Cannon dismissed just weeks ago on the grounds that the special counsel was not constitutionally appropriate in that role and was not appointed under the Constitution. And so what we have now is the president going on the offensive, seeking $100 million in damages. Now, the DOJ has 180 days from receipt of the intent to sue to respond to the notice and try to come to a resolution. If not, then the suit can move forward in federal court. So we will see what happens. This is a move at a time where the president is looking to go on the offensive and push back against the deep state.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is a pretty interesting time as we are, really at the final days of this campaign. We do have the concept of a debate on the table now. Three debates, potentially one debate, one agreed upon, but will they show up? The other, there's a whole lot of uncertainty there. Do you think the debates will happen? I'm curious your thoughts. 1-800, do you think they should happen? Not only will they happen, so maybe two questions I have for you. Will they happen and should they happen? Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. You can put that in the comments as well. I'd love to hear from you, but put it in the comments. What do you think? Do you think there will be a debate? And do you think that will happen on Fox News? Where do you think it'll happen? Just give me your commentary there in the chat. And again, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to talk about a little bit later some of the Harris campaigns. I don't know. It seems to be that they are parroting a bit of the Trump talking points. Just to be like, hey, if you haven't heard what Trump is saying, by the way, we're just going to repeat some of those as well, claim them as our own, steal off of, your friend's homework. That's going on right now. It's going to be a very interesting time. We're going to discuss that as well. I'm sure some of you have heard about that again at 1-800-684-3110. I did want to take a minute because we are just about halfway through. We're August 12th. Of this year, and I want to take a minute to tell you about the ACLJ's Life and Liberty Drive for August. Look, it has been a remarkable time. We knew July was going to be tough. August is tough. We know that. We see the rise of all sorts of costs. We know it's not easy right now, but we are involved in so many important things. There is one that come this Wednesday we're going to be able to start talking about, and I'm so excited about this one because these are when sometimes there are, and we have to wait. It's not like I can tell you right now because a lot of what we're dealing with is the law. We're dealing with lawsuits that are being filed and all that. You don't want to show your cards all at one time. But hopefully by Wednesday, we're going to be able to start talking about this. A case and a moment that happened to me firsthand, just by living in this world that we live in. I encountered something, and when I encountered it, I felt like the ACLJ had to get involved. And we're going to get involved legally and spiritually. And for the heart of the nation, we're going to do that. And you're going to hear about that coming up soon. Give us a call. Phone lines are jammed right now. 1-800-684-3110. Oh, no. Two just opened up. So you can call in right now and get your comments in. But we're in the middle of this Life and Liberty Drive. I encourage you right now. You heard what we were doing for Tulsi Gabbard last week. You got a lot more attention, too. We're submitting FOIA requests on her behalf. We're preparing lawsuits over the targeting, putting her on a terror watch list, and so on and so on. We're also defending Israel before the ICC. So we're going to talk more about Israel. And there's a major prayer case also in federal appeals court today. That's in Ocala, Florida. You've heard about that over the years. And we just won a major victory in California. We're going to discuss that a bit later in the broadcast. We can't do any of that without your financial support. So right now, I'm going to encourage you, scan the QR code if you're watching. If not, go to aclj.org. We only got about a minute break, but it's long enough to go in there, make your donation of any kind. All is doubled financially. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. I know a lot of you are just joining us right now, so we got to restate what's going on. You may have seen the headline on YouTube or on Rumble. By the way, if you're watching on one of those platforms and you're brand new, welcome. I encourage you to subscribe or follow, whatever it is, on your platform of choice. We actually have a lot of people rewatching on Facebook. Facebook had kind of gone away, I'd say, in Facebook Live, not drawing the numbers it used to draw as people kind of migrated off of Facebook onto other platforms. We're starting to see some more interest in Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, also, thank you. Make sure you're following. We do this show each and every day, Monday through Friday. Put out a lot of other great content as well. So if you're brand new, hit that subscribe button. Really appreciate it. Hit that thumbs up even if you're not brand new. Hit that thumbs up. We appreciate it. Well, let's talk about this. Let's restate this. People see Trump fights back with lawsuit. Hey, Trump is fighting with a lawsuit. That's right, because former President Trump is set to sue the Justice Department for 100 million big ones in damages. This was over the Mar-a-Lago property raid. Give a little background again on that.
That's right. So this is a notice has been served to the Department of Justice in making a claim under the Federal Tort Claims Act. So this is the mechanism for which the a private individual can sue the government if they have been wronged in some way by a federal employee that was acting on behalf of the government. So what we're seeing here is that this suit is now there's 180 days that the federal government, the Department of Justice, can respond or try to settle this before going to court. After that, if it is not resolved, then it will go into federal court in the Southern District of Florida. This is the Mar-a-Lago raid case. So the Jack Smith case, it was related to the classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. Now, this raid did take place before Jack Smith was appointed. So the FBI first raided, and then after the raid is when Merrick Garland appointed Jack Smith as special counsel. That case has been thrown out of court by Judge Cannon because she ruled that he was unconstitutionally appointed. It wasn't an appropriate appointment as an officer of the United States would normally need to go through some sort of confirmation process, and he was not. It also violated the Appropriations Act because the Appropriations Amendment in the Constitution because of the way that they even bragged about having an unlimited budget with unlimited scope to go after the president. So what President Trump is trying to do here is actually fight back in one of these cases, the first opportunity to fight back, not just be the defendant and fight it all the way to the Supreme Court, by trying to go on the offensive. Now, it's a long shot. These aren't claims that are typically just dished out. It's not an easy process, especially since the case, although it's been thrown out, the raid happened before Jack Smith was appointed. So it wasn't necessarily at the direction of Jack Smith. It was the Attorney General and the FBI
Don't tell
director.
People that. They want to hear that it's Jack Smith directed. Well,
but I understand. But I am laying out the facts. It is not necessarily just an easy road. But I do like to see that when you've seen so much overstep, so much corruption, that we're now seeing someone fight back.
Yeah. I think it's a big deal. I think it's a cool moment. There's also another piece that's going on. You guys talked about this Friday when I was out, which is that one of the cases for Trump has been delayed significantly. We were pushing for it. It was potentially going to happen. It looks like it was approved.
That's right. So we talked about on Friday with Jordan the fact that Jack Smith had asked for another 3-week extension to a status hearing, a status conference that they were supposed to be having this week in the Chutkan case. This is the January 6th case. Judge Chutkan in D.C. is the presiding judge over this.
You know, when you say those words, that month and that day, the YouTube actually puts a little, here's the truth about it, information.
Oh, interesting. Am I telling the truth or not? Who's to say?
Well, it just says, if you don't know what this is, here's a little fun fact.
Well,
it's like the old COVID rules. You know?
So in this one, Jack Smith had asked for a 3-week delay, saying that he needed more time to parse out how this case will go forward in light of the immunity decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, as well as the decision by the Supreme Court in the Fisher case. That was the case against another January 6th defendant, that it was the obstruction of an official act were the charges that the Supreme Court said were overbroad. And so that defendant was able to get those removed. And those were also two charges that President Trump had been charged with. So within all of these two things, these two Supreme Court decisions that happened July 1st and June 28th of this year, that now he's saying, I still need more time. It's been over a month. That status hearing would have been plenty of time, you would think, for him to be able to get his ducks in a row to figure out which way to go. He needs more time, and the judge agreed on Friday to push this back. So the new hearing date will be September 5th is when their status hearing will be, which was supposed to be August 16th.
Yeah, so just a couple weeks, 3 weeks from now, that'll be happening. So, I mean, it got delayed, but not extensively, just enough.
That's right. But the big question is, as Jack Smith looks through all this, and in light of what the Supreme Court did, will there even be a case at all to move forward with? How narrow will his scope now become? And will the judge have to do any steps like an evidentiary hearing so she can parse out which things they intend to bring, which may run afoul of the Supreme Court's opinion in the immunity case?
Hey, I posed a question earlier in the broadcast, which was, do you think the debates will happen? Do you think that, because we saw on over the weekend that Trump and Harris kind of went back and forth about debates. Now, it looks very clearly that the vice presidential debates will likely happen. That seems to be pretty much set in stone. And then the others are being negotiated right now. I want to hear from you, your thoughts on that. And, of course, any of the conversation we've had today, you can call in at 1-800-684-3110. I do like to hear from you. But if you can't right now and you're watching on YouTube or watching on Rumble, just comment. Tell me what you think. Do you think you can just put, yeah, Logan, I think the debate will happen. No, I don't. You don't have to go into detail. You have no pressure. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, though. Let's go to Daryl, who's calling in Texas on line one. Daryl, you're on the air.
Yes, I think the debates will happen. The debates are going to be awesome, but I think the VP debate is going to be drawing way more attention because I think Kamala is going to crash and burn. And I think that's why they sent her this VP to be able to fight fire with fire, because Vance has fire and Kamala doesn't. So the only way to keep this interesting is to have someone like Walt go up against someone like Vance, because otherwise it'd be child's play.
Yeah, I think, Daryl, that's an interesting point, which is I do think there is sort of a more untraditional, or maybe more traditional, rivalry between Vance and Walz, because there is that sort of, they both have a military background. They've now kind of mixed it up a little bit. This does feel more like the traditional debate going into it, where what we have with Harris is this weird situation where obviously Biden lost so bad last time that he had to withdraw. Now she's put in this weird position. He's put in a weird position because they're not really used to, weren't planning on working together this way and having these debates. But when you look at it this way, it's kind of fun. The fact that you could have a vice presidential debate that maybe could honestly also show a future of the Republican Party, maybe not the Democrats. I don't know if Walz has the long-term plans, but he's not as old as you think. He very well could be running for president if they were to win and go two terms. He'd only be in his late 60s. There's a chance that you could see a future of either of these parties through both of these candidates.
That's right. So what we do know is that there will be, at least right now, on September 10th, a debate on ABC. President Trump, when he did his press conference last week, he said that he had pitched and actually agreed to do it with the networks if Harris would sign on as well. Three debates, one on Fox News, one on ABC, and one on NBC, all in the month of September. But it does appear that the ABC debate on September 10th is the one that the Harris campaign has agreed to.
Yeah, but I don't know. Did the Trump campaign agree to do that one if she did not do the others?
So that's where it's muddy. We're not quite sure.
I don't think
but
so.
As of right now, they were still touting, the media at least was touting this would be the debate. But I know that President Trump is pushing for more. Yeah. The other angle of it is that we don't know a timing of a potential VP debate.
Oh, I thought that was some reason. I thought there was more.
But what we are looking for is whether or not this will happen. And like you said, the J.D. Vance made the rounds on the Sunday shows this weekend. He was asked directly about the contrast between he and Governor Walz, that he brought up the military issues. And also, he did a really good job, especially on CNN with Dana Bash, of saying, listen, you keep going to like, here's a comment you said 3 years ago. Here's this. You know what we need to be talking about is the issues. He did the job that I feel like many people were hoping he would do of saying like, no, let's not just talk about personality and politics. Let's talk about the real policies that we would bring forward. And that's something that the Harris campaign is getting criticized for often, is that they aren't really talking about policies, except for all of a sudden one that we'll get to in the next segment.
Yeah, the next segment we're talking about maybe some policies that maybe have been a cherry picked off of the Trump campaign, ones that were very specific. And when you start seeing them, it'll start making your blood boil a bit. It really does. Because the problem is that if you are not a conservative, you're probably not following President Trump you know, what he's saying, his campaign promises, if you will. Because you're at this point, you don't care. You don't like him, you're not going to vote for him. But maybe you're following Harris and you realize, oh, she's got some really good ideas. But those ideas may have just been lifted straight from the most popular moments of a Trump campaign. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. You know what I'm talking about, likely, if you're watching here. If not, stay tuned. 1-800-684-3110 to get on the air today. We got a couple lines open right now. 1-800-684-3110. And again, I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ, all our legal work, all of our media work. And there is some amazing stuff happening. If you are a proud citizen of this country, and maybe you're a pro-life citizen of this country, you're going to want to stay tuned, because we have such an amazing announcement coming in the next few days that you're going to want to get involved in. Just want to tease that a bit. But you've seen what's been going on in the press, whether that's our work now with Tulsi Gabbard to help her as she prepare the lawsuits over her targeting, whether that's going on in Israel or even in the federal appeals court today in Ocala, Florida. We are supporting your beliefs. Go right now to ACLJ.org. Welcome back to Secular. We're going to take some of your phone calls as well. And of course, we wanted to bring up some interesting moments here. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but or even just yesterday, the Harris campaign has started to finally start talking about policies. You know, I've kind of said Trump needs to run on, here are the failed policies of the Harris administration. Here are my successful ones. Don't go too low, because you're going to just come off rude and obnoxious. You're not going to come off with a lot of information, which right now there is a lot of information you can dive in on. But what was very interesting, and I don't know if you knew about this, it was, you know, many months ago now, there was a movement among conservatives and among the Trump campaign, specifically about the elimination of taxation on tips. So obviously this is for people in the service industry and people that rely on tips, saying we're going to remove the tax on tips. So much so that you had a movement of saying, hey, when you tip, write in this, you know, in a blank, which you could have not, Kid Rock did it, a few other people, like, write something like, vote for Trump because this won't be taxed.
Right.
Very popular moment. You know, people were very excited about this. Then that moment kind of passed. It was still something they're running on. It's one of their platforms, but it's not the hot moment right now. And then Harris campaign just started talking about some of their big, you know, plans. What are some of their campaign promises? And I believe we have the bite. Take a listen.
And it is my promise to everyone here, when I am president, we will continue our fight for working families of America, including to raise the minimum wage and eliminate taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers.
The crowd goes crazy. Why? Because this may be the first time they've heard about this. But if you were paying attention at all, you know that this is something that the Trump campaign has been running on for months. They've been running on it for months. You know that this campaign, the Harris campaign, the Biden administration, they're the ones that just a few years ago were trying to take your money from, you know, small transactions on PayPal or small transactions you had online. This is not the no taxation group. So don't let them trick you into thinking they have some brilliant new ideas that are really just rehashes of Trump policies. We also saw an extreme case of this now with the talks of the border.
That's right. And so what we've seen now is the campaign of Harris and Walz getting out there, some of their very first policy mentions, because as of yet, we haven't really seen them roll out any policy discussion. And that's been some of the criticism, is that they're bringing joy back, but they're not talking about what they're going to do. And so now we see that Vice President Harris is starting to mention things like tax on tips, taking that to a rally. And as you mentioned, if you haven't been following politics up until this moment, which the majority of the country is not,
right,
really after Labor Day is when everyone tunes in, but people are starting to because the conventions are here. But this was a big thing that President Trump touted at the convention at the RNC. He's been doing it for months. And the fact that she would just out there say, here's what I'm going to do. Here's my promise. Yeah, it's like a campaign policy plagiarism. But it sounds nice, and you'd think that maybe they would think this isn't the best way to go.
Yeah, let's take a call about this. Michael's calling in Florida, listening on the radio. Michael, you're on the air.
Absolutely, gentlemen. I just wanted to call it out for exactly what it is. It's plagiarism, because she never gave any credit for whoever said it and was standing on it to begin with. Secondly, if I were Trump, I would merely go to all of the video and audio clips from Kamala, who has said things like, well, I don't necessarily support an open border, but I support having free medical, free driver's license, free whatever to these people. And then I would go, all right, let's go to the scoreboard and find out exactly where Trump was, the things that he did for us, and the things that Kamala has or has not been doing for us.
Like I've said this, Michael, I think there's so much to run on in terms of just the policies, just the stuff they've said done that's gone wrong. So many of the campaign promises are things that she could be doing now as vice president and what feels like acting president. But of course, it's if you elect me day one, I'm going to lower your gas prices. I'm going to lower the cost of food. You're the vice president of the United States. Why don't you get in there and do that now if that's something you actually can do or your policies will actually allow you to do? Have a little sway here. You had a big enough sway to get the president of the United States to decide not to run. That you're going to spend all your time on. You're going to send Nancy Pelosi out there. You're going to send all of your heavy hitters out there to go, he shouldn't be running. We can't have him. And eventually push a guy who's the current president of the United States to have to withdraw. What we can't do is go into that office and go, we need to figure out a way to get gas prices down. We need to go when you have a family of four and you're taking them to eat at, you know, Sonic, that it's not costing $90. But that's the world we're living in right now. And you're right. When you bring up the border is such an important topic. And here, I mean, look, I don't like to play because I feel like it's weird just playing like a campaign ad for the Harris administration or Harris campaign. But you need to look at this. This is what they started running about the border.
Kamala Harris has spent decades fighting violent crime. As a border state prosecutor, she took on drug cartels and jailed gang members for smuggling weapons and drugs across the border. As vice president, she backed the toughest border control bill in decades. And as president, she will hire thousands more border agents and crack down on fentanyl and human trafficking. Fixing the border is tough. So is Kamala Harris.
I'm Kamala Harris, and okay, I approve this.
That's enough. We can pull from that. Again, I didn't want to play that as like an ad. I feel like we did. Maybe next time we need to like put it in a little box and go like, this is not an ad. We're not running an ad because it felt like we just ran an ad in the middle of it. But they're running on being tough on the border, on ending the fentanyl crisis, on stopping human trafficking, which I guess is real now, by the way. I guess we could talk about human trafficking is really happening because, you know, a year ago we were told if you talked about human trafficking online, you were some, you know, QAnon conspiracy theorist. But I guess now it's okay. We can talk about that it's happening. You can talk about the opioid crisis, which all of us have felt in our own families. But of course, they've not done anything about it. And she's running, you know, tough on crime. I mean, it sounds like an ad from the 80s, and it feels like you're taking conservative talking points, slapping on a couple different candidates and saying it's yours now. Because you know why? Sadly, people are going to fall for it. Sadly, I talked to people this morning who were like, I didn't know about Trump and the tax and the tips thing. Yeah, because you're not paying attention. You got to pay attention to what's happening if you actually care. It is tough. And it's tough to follow. It's tough to fill your brain with it. I don't like it either. But when it comes down to whether you are actually an undecided voter, you got to be making these calls. And I think it's just wild.
Well, these are some of the takeaways from that ad that I have. One, they finally admitted that the border is broken because at the end of it, it says fixing the border is tough, but Kamala Harris is also tough. So they're admitting finally that the border's broken. It only took them 4 years. But they'd also said the accomplishments, you know, it had her prosecutor, her vice president, and what she'll do as president. It's kind of the three narratives here. As vice president, the only thing she's done, even though she had all that responsibility with the Northern Triangle and trying to figure that out, and we sent billions of dollars there to try to create jobs so that migration wouldn't be happening, their only accomplishment as vice president, she supported the toughest border control bill in decades. A bill that did not pass.
Yeah, it failed. A failed bill is what you're running on right now. They're not going to say that in the ad. They don't want you to know that. Look, we're heading into the second half hour of the broadcast. If you want to be on the air, great time to call. 1-800-684-3110. Some of you lose us here. You're listening on radio. Maybe you don't get the full hour. I encourage you to find the full hour. We broadcast live each and every day from noon to 1 Eastern time. You can work your way back. You know your own time zone. Do that. You can find it on ACLJ.org. You can find it on YouTube, on Rumble. Just search for ACLJ, Seculo. You're going to find us there broadcasting. We put up a lot of other great content as well. Or you can find us later on the podcast. You can find all your favorite podcast players or apps, or of course, on YouTube and Rumble Replayed. But without you, this broadcast doesn't happen. Our legal work doesn't happen. So let's just say right now, you're one of the thousands of people who are joining us just online. and you're just watching the video, I'm going to encourage you right now to make a donation. If you like this broadcast, do it right now. Go to ACLJ.org. All donations effectively double during this Life at Liberty Drive. We're back in less than a minute.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to talk about ACLJ victory. That's coming up in the next segment, which is, you know, all cases are incredibly important. The big ones, the small ones, doesn't matter. They're all big ones. Because even if they just, you think they affect one person, they don't. They affect whole communities of people. Sometimes those cases go all the way up to the Supreme Court. Sometimes they can be resolved in a matter of minutes. So it's amazing work that the ACLJ legal team does. We were on the phone with them just about an hour ago before this broadcast to go through all of the current active cases, what's happening, what's new. And again, not to just tease, we've got a big one coming next week that I'm looking forward to sharing about and telling you the true story. Sometimes how God works puts us in interesting places. That's what happened to me. I got put in a very interesting place to see some of the rhetoric that's going on, some of the work that's going on to hurt some of our friends and partners. We're going to talk about that coming up a little bit later this week. But for now, we are going to talk. I know a lot of you are just joining us right now. I can watch. What's awesome is, you know, we used to just be on radio, which, look, we love our radio affiliates. 1,000 of you. We love you. But what's interesting is now that we have YouTube and Rumble and Facebook and X, we're able to real-time see when people come on, comments that are being made. Question, I know a lot of people are asking what this topic is, because we said there's a major update that Trump's fighting back with a lawsuit. If you joined us at the beginning of the show, you heard about it. But Will, let's give him, you know, we got a couple minutes in this segment. Let's give him a little bit of a brief overview of what's happening. Trump's suing the Department of Justice for $100 million.
That's right. So attorneys for the president have informed the Department of Justice of his intent to sue for $100 million in punitive damages over the execution of the search warrant at his Mar-a-Lago estate in 2022. So this is an administrative tort claim against the DOJ. It argues that the attorney general and FBI director applied inconsistent standards and were guilty of a clear dereliction of constitutional principles when they approved this search warrant. And they are now, the DOJ has 180 days to respond to try and settle this before going forward. If they are unable to reach some sort of agreement, then it will go to federal court in the Southern District of Florida, where we will see a lawsuit against the Department of Justice.
Yeah, so that's the update there. I hope that gives you a brief understanding of what's going on if you're brand new to this broadcast right now. Also, we just lost a couple calls, so we have some phone lines open. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. Here's the fun part about this. The next segment, we're going to, maybe we'll take some calls at 1-800-684-3110. Again, I pose the question, do you think the vice presidential debate will happen? The presidential debate and vice presidential debate, and what it will look like. Do you think Trump and Harris will actually come to an agreement? Let us know what you think, or any of these, you know, questions or comments you may have in related to, how about Kamala Harris's campaign just ripping off the Trump campaign, just flat out plagiarizing? Give us a call about that. 1-800-684-3110. We got a few lines open. It's a great time to do it. And also later in the broadcast, Will's going to take some of those calls. And you know what? Maybe Will be a little bit more looser on the calls he'll take. Who knows? You know, so maybe you're kind of a wild caller. If you don't curse, maybe Will will take you. I'm not saying he will. I'm not putting him in a position because I have to leave. I'm just going to say,
I think you're putting me in a weird position because you're leaving. I think that's
what can happen. What could go wrong? 1-800-684-3110. I did want to say thank you. I just watched our YouTube numbers go up, and we just crossed 420,000 subscribers on YouTube. 420,000 individual accounts have subscribed to the ACLJ's YouTube channel. I want you to understand, if you're brand new, that is a great way to engage, because I'm not going to ask you necessarily to make a donation. If you make a donation, if you enjoy our content, you enjoy our legal work, if you enjoy our content, we do this each and every day. Can't do it without an amazing team. I mean, there's dozens and dozens of people just working on this 1 hour a day. So I encourage you to always give if you can, and then subscribe if you know, either way, but if you're brand new, I encourage you. It's 420,000. I know for some, you may hear a number and go, oh, well, compared to like a, you know, Mr. Beast, that's nothing. They got 300 million. Understand, that's 420,000 people who are looking for different ways to communicate, different voices in the room that are against the mainstream press, the mainstream news. We are an alternative news source. We're an alternative media source. We are available for you for free on YouTube, on Rumble. Isn't that amazing? There's more people who are subscribed to our channel that watch most of CNN. Think about it that way. Pretty great. And this is a great moment. So I encourage you to subscribe. I encourage you right now to make that donation at ACLJ.org. It's Life and Liberty Drive, and all donations are matched during the Life and Liberty Drive. So understand there's someone else there ready to unlock their donation. So if you give $20, it becomes $40, so on and so on. We'll be right back. Secular, I want to draw your attention a bit to the work of the ACLJ. You know, we do a lot of great legal work around the country and around the world, even with our offices in Europe and our offices all around the country, ACLJ Jerusalem as well. But I wanted to draw attention to a case that happened a little bit earlier this year. It was a city in California, and a man had inside of a pretty much a home Bible study, right, Will?
That's right. So this client who is a resident of the city of Manhattan Beach in early 2024, so this year, began gathering in his home with fellow Christians. They would watch church on TV, so kind of a home fellowship, and then they would fellowship after that and like talk about the sermon.
A lot of people do, sort of like a Bible study. You meet kind of a home church / Bible study, get together, watch a sermon on TV, discuss it, talk about it. Seems no problem. A lot of people have done it. I've done it. I'm sure a lot of you have. A lot of us did that during the COVID years. And then it started taking a turn in April of 2024. This year, April, not that long ago. Okay, what, 4 months ago? And what happened?
Well, the city then told him that he couldn't have this, that this would be an unzoned, a zoning issue where you're having a religious assembly in your home. But the city did confirm that, you know, you can have 100 people over to watch Lord of the Rings every week. That's fine.
Yeah.
But there's no zoning violation there. But if it's a church facility or a church gathering or a religious gathering, you can't do that.
And by the way, it's quoted the Lord of the Rings. I want to know why. They're like, that's so aggressively long. Like, why don't you pick something short? Something that you're like, well, you could have someone over for 90 minutes, but not, I mean, collectively, that's a, if you're doing the extended conditions, that's a 12-hour commitment.
But so this case took another turn because then he tried to also have a gathering in renting a city facility.
Right.
As many cities have, there are public spaces, whether it be
libraries
a park
or
just a community gathering center. Place, community center. And so tries to do that. But within the purpose of their reservation policy, it's the
like
facility,
to reserve a
space, right?
Yeah.
Facility reservation policy governs the use of public facilities such as community center rooms, picnic shelters, swimming pools, etc. It says facilities will not be used for religious worship or other religious purposes. So there are two tracks here that are unconstitutional and both a violation of this client's First Amendment right.
That's right. We stepped in. The ACLJ stepped in and reached out directly to the city to inform they can't do that. You can't regulate whether it's a religious gathering, whether that is in any way, whether that was using their space or not.
That's right. And so we got a double win here is that the city agreed to issue a letter to clarify the city's position that typically sized home gatherings, whether for a Bible study, Seder, or other religious purposes, or for non-religious purposes, are permitted in residential single-family zone. So one, the zoning issue cleared up. Can't discriminate on what kind of gathering you're having at your home as long as it falls within noise ordinances and things of that nature. Like there are things that govern everyone, but you just can't discriminate against religion. But the other win here, and this one we just got because they had told us they were going to change their language in their reservation policy, but we needed to wait. We need to wait to see it through. And the city council approved the new language, which struck from the facility reservation policy that they will not be used for religious worship or other religious purposes.
Struck out.
That's right.
The ban on religious services. These are kind of the cases here, guys, that this could be, you think this is small. What does it matter? Because this is a lot of this is settled law that the ACLJ has already fought for 40 years ago. 35 years ago, you have the Lamb Chapel case, you have the Supreme Court cases that have, this has already happened. But a lot of people aren't informed of their own laws. They think, they hear the separation of church and state, and one, they don't even realize what it is or what it means, or that it's not really even it's a theory. It's not really anything on the books here. But they hear that, and they go, oh, we can't have religious, we gotta make sure we put that in there, no religious speech. But now the ACLJ, at no cost, because by the way, I assure you that this client did not have probably the want nor the need or the financial needs to hire a law firm to go take this to court, to do all the process to get there, or even just file these letters and have the communications. But the ACLJ steps in at no cost. We don't charge a dollar to our clients. And someday that might be you. So I encourage you right now. This is a win for everybody. It's a win for all religions, all faiths, specifically for Christians for sure, in the state of California where you know you're being a bit more under attack than ever. None of this happens without the support of the ACLJ members. And maybe you are somebody who needs that legal help, those legal services. It's within our scope. Go to aclj.org/help. You fill out a very simple form. You're not sent off to, you know, a telemarketing group where you're going to talk to 40 different. No, you're going to be assigned to someone in our legal team and a lawyer. And then we're going to determine whether your case is something we can take or not. But we're going to do it. And if we decide to take it, guess what? No cost to you. But that's because of individual donors and ACLJ champions. Those are people that can support the work of the ACLJ financially, whether it's on an ongoing monthly basis, an ACLJ champion. That's what we call recurring donors. And by the way, there's no baseline for that. I think it's minimum is $5 just because you have to do that for the credit card transaction fees. So I think it's like $5 and you can choose. If you want to be a champion at $5, God bless you. If you want to be a champion at $1,000, we'll do it. And right now, all those donations are matched. And again, I don't want it to sound like I'm pitching for money here right now. Understand that this work that our client here, Manhattan Beach, California, does not happen without your help. Does not happen without the thousands of people that watch online each and every day. The millions of people that watch online, listen on radio throughout the week. The 420,000 of you that subscribe on YouTube alone. None of that happens without your support. So I encourage you, we are in that middle of our Life and Liberty Drive, which I know we had it in July. We extended it through August because all donations are matching. Look, it's a rough time financially. We understand that. So if you can't, we understand. But if you can, even at the smallest level, there's no difference to me between a $5 donor and a $5,000 donor. So if you can give, please do it at aclj.org or become an ACLJ champion where it's recurring. Because when you have these cases, they seem small. Again, they seem like, oh, I'm going to go help a community, a guy who wants to have his home church or community center church. This is not how this works. We can step in with the best of the best. We can have the best of the best because we can afford the best of the best. We can't afford the best of the best without your financial support. So I wanted to make sure people understood that well. As we go into the last segment here, we're going to take a lot of your phone calls also as well because I like to hear from you. You know, we usually have a lot of ACLJ top experts on this show, and I appreciate all of them, whether that's Will, whether that's members of our legal team. Today, I always like to wrap up with taking your calls. So give me a call right now at 1-800-684-3110. I think we should take a call real quickly. You want to do that?
Yeah, but I did want to make one point as well on the case in California. Okay. Now, we got involved in May after the client was denied their rights in April. So it still took several months, even though we had Supreme Court precedent like Lamb's Chapel case that is an ACLJ victory that said you can't let other groups use your government facility, but you can't exclude Christians. Yeah. And so we even had the right law, but we still had to take months to fight and make sure they got the correct thing across the finish line. And we will still do that. So it takes months of work, even when you have the law on your side, but we will continue to fight for the clients. Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's take Scott from Nevada on line one. Scott, you're on Seculo.
Yes. Hi. I heard a comment from Jesse Waters last week that the reason that this particular vice presidential candidate was picked by the Harris campaign was because they know that they're running a losing campaign and they didn't want to expose other people like Newsom or Gretchen Whitmer to being tied to a losing campaign. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
You know, I'll say that I thought that, not necessarily in Walls, but I thought that at first, that they thought Trump was so far ahead that you could kind of sacrifice Harris to then reset in 4 years. I really did think that. I was like, okay, well, this makes sense. Biden doesn't get the big loss. She takes the loss. Then it gets, because she was very unpopular, let's just be honest, until a few weeks ago, very unpopular. She takes the loss. We move on. They don't have to worry about her running in a couple of years because they think, well, she already had her chance at the candidacy. Usually you don't get that twice. So we can move on from Harris. Now, what I think has happened, Will, is the reverse, which is it became a breath of fresh air for the Democrats to not have to be dealing with President Biden, who they were sadly embarrassed of, not sadly, but you know, they were embarrassed of because of his performance at that debate, that now it was a breath of fresh air to just have someone who could speak kinda.
Well,
and now polls are showing that.
And I see, I don't agree with the fact that they think that the Harris Walls are a sacrifice here not just now, to move on. Because I think they wouldn't have forced Biden out if they thought it was gonna be a losing ticket. Because then, regardless if Tim Walz had a future in presidential politics, the amount of shakeup and shenanigans that they pulled to make this happen. Even Biden talking in interviews now about how it was the party bigwigs that pushed him out. They would not have done that if they still thought they were going to lose. They would let that lose and move on.
Yeah, no, I think that right now we're having a situation where they very much think that there is a pathway to victory. And look, there may be. That's why we can't be, you know, ignorant to this. We got to be paying attention. We got to be clear-headed. We got to be talking about policy, talking about facts. Get away from the personal attacks. They are losing a lot of voters for you when you attack Harris over things that are goofy, silly comedy. And I feel that way, by the way, about the others. Quit calling people weird. Quit pushing to fake, you know, reports. I'm sick of it from both of them. There are clear policies from the Harris campaign and clear policies from the Trump campaign. Pick the one you want from that. But that's not how it's going to be. Hey, taking all your phone calls coming up in the next segment. Will's going to do it, not me. So guess what? Have some fun. 1-800-684-3110. Sorry, phone screeners. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Seculo, final segment of the show today, and we're going to go right to the phones. We're going to go to Bob calling on line 2 from Michigan. Bob, welcome to Seculo.
You guys do great and historically important work, and I thank you for that. God bless you.
Thank you, Bob.
I would like to say that Kamala Harris, I think she would feel the pressure to attend all 3 debates, because otherwise she would be called, rightfully, a cut-and-run coward, just like she was at the border.
Well, Bob, and that's the kind of what we're seeing, is that Kamala Harris has said she would be open to more debates. I really doubt that she will follow through and do a Fox News debate, just because I don't think that she would feel comfortable in unfriendly territory. When you have these debates many times with the organizations that put them on, it's typically 2 against 1. You have the Democrat candidate that is running for the office. You have the moderators, which are very friendly to that party's policies. And then you have the conservative that is having to fight off a two-front battle, as it were, on these debate stages. But I do think that we will see the September 10th one on ABC. And we will see if they are able to negotiate out a couple other debates. Time will tell. I think, as you're saying, she will probably feel the pressure. But right now, she is feeling pressure to do an interview, and their response is, we'll get to it sometime this month. She has given a total of, I believe, 90 seconds worth of answering questions at press gaggles on tarmacs. And they're all about, hey, when are you going to do an interview? So I don't think she's feeling the pressure right now to get out there more than these large rallies where they have a concert involved. So free tickets to a concert to get big numbers to show up in some places like Atlanta. And unfortunately, no time for the media to really talk about policy. But let's go ahead and go to Ann calling on line 3 from Pennsylvania. Ann, you're on Seculo.
You're doing such a great job. I love you guys. I will be donating because it's important to me, and I've been wanting to start donating quite some time ago. But in any case, all Trump has to do is to continually harp on the America First policies and combat the obvious slander, and I'm talking about on the debate stage, that will no doubt be coming from Kamala. And he absolutely will no doubt point out her horrible record in office and in Congress and as a prosecutor, then of course, her horrible Marxist policies. But I have to say one more thing. I am so tired, and this is not ACLJ. I'm so tired of hearing some conservative punditry, and it's sometimes the same old talking points. If he stays on point and sticks to the policies and doesn't come off as angry, and he'll do fine. And then Kamala, if she has a, you know, an okay performance, she will be lauded as like doing a great debate. Well, we know this already, right?
Right.
But we know that President Trump is going to fulfill the former of what I was saying, because he is so popular because of the people, not because of the way Trump talks, not because of his personality, not because of his different style of giving off a speech. Because I do think, personally, he is a very good orator, Donald J. Trump. And I just love you guys. I'm going to be donating soon, because you know what? You guys are doing amazing work. The ACLJ has been around for many years doing what it needs to do, and I will be donating, and I love you guys. God bless you so much.
Thank you so much, Anne. And I actually wanted to play this bite as well. This was from J.D. Vance as he was making his rounds on the Sunday shows and was kind of calling out to that point, as Anne was kind of referencing, about how the media will treat the Trump campaign versus how they're treating Kamala Harris, who has not given an interview to them at this point. But this is bite two, and it's just very interesting. I'll give some commentary after we play it.
Now ask me three questions about comments that I made 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what Kamala Harris thinks about the fact that she supported policies that opened the American southern border. I wonder what Kamala Harris thinks about the fact that she lied to the American
people. I'm interviewing you, not
about
Kamala Harris.
Joe Biden's middle facility for the office. You are interviewing me, Dana, because I respect the American people enough to sit down for an interview.
I appreciate that.
Kamala Harris has been the nominee for 3 weeks. She hasn't sat down for a real
Believe
interview.
Believe me, we are asking. You're not going to get a disagreement
there. But the point is, Dana, you've got me for 15 minutes or however long you have me. We should be talking about public policies that matter. How are we going to lower inflation? How are we going to reduce the cost of food and housing? How are we going to close down that southern border? We've talked so little about that. We've talked a lot more about a sarcastic remark I made 3 years ago. I think we should talk about the issues.
I think that's really refreshing from J.D. Vance, honestly, because he's calling out the media for what they love to do. They love to play the politics of personality. They like to harp on a, as he references, a sarcastic comment he made 3 years ago. They like to be divisive instead of doing a reporter's job of trying to challenge them on their policies. Say, this is your policy. Why do you think it's better for Americans? How will that economic plan work? How is it going to be paid for? How are you going to get that across the finish line? How are you going to get it beyond a Senate filibuster? If Republicans have control of the Senate, how are they going to get enough Democrats to let it move forward on a vote? That is the type of questioning that a media, an independent media, you'd think would be interested in, instead of the politics of personality that they've become obsessed with over the past decades. I mean, this isn't new, but you see it in a world where Donald Trump is in politics that it becomes just so aggressive and over the top. It's the phrase Trump derangement syndrome. The media has that beyond compare of any other politician because they can't get over this politics of personality. And I think with J.D. Vance calling them out, calling Dana Bash out for it right there on CNN, like, hey, why are we talking about this? I'm on here. You have 15 minutes with me. I'll sit down. I respect the American people. I want you to challenge me. And yet they're still dealing with the politics of personality. It's a shame. It's a disservice to the United States and to the American people. But that's where we are. We're going to go to Randy calling from Ohio on line one. Randy, you're on Seculo.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I listen to you all I get the chance to, you know, during this time of day. It's hard to. But anyway, I don't really have a question. I just would like to make a point. I'm not big on the national polls because if she was so close in the national polls, they wouldn't be fighting so hard to rebrand her.
That, you know, it's a very good point, Randy. Also, one thing people have to remember is that while a national poll can be a barometer, that's not how you win an election. Really, it comes down to the Electoral College and how you're playing in key swing states. Because if a national survey is heavy on Democrat areas and you look at those analytics and where they were polling, it could tell you a very different picture of what the United States is looking at. But I do understand that it is going to be a close race. Presidential politics is very close in no matter what year you're looking at these days. We're a very divided partisan country at this point. So I understand your point, but at the same time, it's really going to be those swing states and who can pull off the win in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, states like that. But folks, thank you for watching today, and thank you for calling in. I do want to remind you about our Life and Liberty Drive here in the month of August. The federal government is being weaponized against conservatives, and that's exactly what our Life and Liberty Drive was built for. The flood of potential cases coming into the ACLJ are endless, and our growing legal battles require immense resources. We need your support. Have your gift doubled today at aclj.org, or you can scan the QR code on your screen if you're watching on social media. And it's your support that allows us to take legal action against outrageous attacks from the deep state and from the federal government. We're fighting the left's weaponization of the government against you. Join us in the fight. Have your gift doubled today at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.